This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So, I just choose any one of these I want?
I mean, there's no iPhone. I'm sorry.
No iPhones.
I've got one in my pocket.
Oh.
Do you get the 5-pound phone bill for it, too, then?
No. No. There's a set thing. It's like a regular phone.
Oh.
No, yeah. You're right. I think so. Hello. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
You provide a lot of the humor in this movie, much of the humor in this movie. Was it hard for you to balance between
being kidnapped and being funny?
Was it hard for you to find the comedy? Was it very instinctual? And how much improv did you end up getting to do?
Well, Peter Berg and I did a scene in, I did one scene, he did a few scenes in Smokin' Aces, a Joe Carnahan movie. And Joe wrote this great monologue, and after doing it for a few hours, he basically said, you know, why don't you start to get a little looser with the lines and make up some stuff. And I started to make Peter Berg laugh a lot that day, and so I guess he saw that I could sort of talk on my feet or improvise or whatever, and I guess he figured that that would be perfect for this part, and so he said to make up a lot of stuff. There were a handful of lines written for the character in the movie, but none of them were particularly funny. I don't think the character was supposed to be funny, but he figured that character that could bring some levity would be helpful in this, and so I did have to sort of every day kind of be on my toes and find moments to crack wise, but I had to be mindful of the fact that this is a drama. This is, I've got, Jamie on one side and Chris on the other side, with a couple of Oscars, and Jennifer's got her Golden Globe, and it's, there's this jeopardy that they're trying to maintain in the movie, this tone, and so let's not be an idiot. So, So I tried to pick and choose, but it was, I couldn't phone in any days, I couldn't come to the set and just say, oh, well, I've got this dialogue to memorize, and I'll just say that dialogue when we get to my scene. It's like every scene I had to be ready to perhaps put something in. So it was a little bit more work than one would think with the limited amount of dialogue that was scripted for me.
Jason, you seem to be having this career resurgence where you sort of redefined yourself from when you started out as a juvenile.
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel this time around with it? Is it how do you feel about acting and about celebrity?
It feels
and about work?
Yeah, it feels really. I mean, lucky. Not a lot of people get a second chance, and I think for a while there, my name kind of got in my way a bit based on all of the television I was fortunate enough to do. But after a while, you sort of wear out your welcome in that genre, in that medium, and then, multi-camera was atrophying, and single camera was coming up, and no one wants a multi-camera guy in a single camera show, and so then I was really screwed. So I was very surprised to get a reading for Arrested Development, because it really seemed to be the opposite of that which I was known for doing. And fortunately, I guessed right on that day in the audition room, as far as what they wanted from the character, and they ended up giving me that part, and not a lot of people in America were watching the show, but the people here in L.A. were, and they were some people that were in charge of giving out some good jobs, and so I've kind of been able to hit the reset button a little bit on who I am and what people think of when they hear my name, I hope, I think. And a lot of that goes to your higher ability. It has less and less to do with your talent, I think. I mean, it sounds cynical, but a big part of being hired is what you add or detract from the project as far as pedigree goes. And that show was very well received, and so I'm just trying to, take the good roles that are coming my way and try to perpetuate that level of whatever it is and try to get another few years of employment out of this tough town.
Paul had mentioned that you were the comic relief in this, but you also have one of the most intense, dramatic scenes in this film, and I'm just wondering for you, can you talk about preparing for that particular scene, and how did you feel when you were shooting it?
Well, obviously there wasn't a whole lot of prep. I kept asking my wife to tie me up, and I just want to know how it feels. She wasn't game for that. The fact that my character gets kidnapped just sort of, you know, dictated the way I played the character up until that point. One wants the audience to really have a lot of empathy for this character once he gets kidnapped, because it's this, you know, final act sort of drama, you know, and jeopardy in the film. And so as much as I was being a smartass in the movie, I still tried to make him as likable as possible so people would care that he's bound and gagged. And that was fun. It was fun that because originally my character didn't get kidnapped. And so there was a little less of a purpose for him to be in the movie. And it was just the way that I work. I kind of work backwards from the ending. I look at whatever the finish line is for the character and then kind of act backwards from that and play him in such a way so that that finish line is more rewarding. So if the guy almost gets killed, well, then let's play him in such a way that people are going to like him, you know, as opposed to the opposite. So it was fun. It was easy. I mean, you know, my mouth was taped for 30 pages of the script. And, that originally wasn't the plan. I mean, that was sort of a last minute thing that I said to the director and to I think the prop guy. Said, you know, if I'm going to be tied up for 30 pages, every time you see my character, realistically, I'd be screaming and yelling for somebody who can hear me in another room to let me out. And I don't want to do that. I mean, you know, that's just how many times you need to say, get me out of here. So I said, why don't we just tape my mouth? And then I kind of powered down for the movie. You know, the other days I was sort of, you know, having to be on my feet to improvise. But then I was like, screw it. Could you just tape my mouth? And I don't know, I can just show up on the set every day.
Were you injured at all? Because they really were tossing you around.
I don't think so. I threw up one day on the set when it was really hot. That was about it. But, you know, that's sort of common for us pansy SAG people. No, there wasn't any real injuries on my part. The stunt people were extremely professional, and our second unit director and stunt coordinator were amazing. And I'm really become a big sort of, I'm kind of awed about these action movies. I saw Born Ultimatum the other day and just felt bad that I was able to just drive away from that after 2 hours and say, boy, that was a great movie. But I mean, these guys, I mean, the amount of work that goes into action sequences, and that one particularly from start to finish is all action. And I really feel like they can charge more if they want, you know. There's so much work that goes into it, and this is what I'm doing now, you know, with Peter Berg again. You know, it's about the superhero, and so there's flying and special effects, and things are blowing up, and trains are getting tossed, and you know, it's so much work.
You're in that?
Yeah. And
who are you in that book?
I am a guy that Will Smith saves in the first kind of like 10 pages of the film, and then to pay him back, I tell him I'm going to help him revamp his public image, because he's persona non grata, because he's a drunk, and when he solves crime, he creates a lot of collateral damage because he's banging into buildings and landing on cars instead of the sidewalk, and so they don't like him. And so as I am sort of teaching him how to navigate those waters and be more polite in press conferences, and I got to, you know, and get him like a little outfit and a cape and everything.
You're a Republican.
I'm a corporate PR guy. Then he starts making moves on my wife, which is Charlize Theron, and so there's like this sort of this weird sort of dark love triangle, and you know, it's very very Pete Berg, you know, but it's you know, it's this gigantic Sony movie that I'm just so sort of fortunate to have this great seat to watch, because it's, you know, this flotilla of trucks and effects, and I'm a lucky boy.
You said originally.
Okay, you mentioned earlier about your success, you know, even though Arrested Development couldn't find a big enough audience for Fox. I mean, you've gone to have great success, and along with, you know, Will Arnett and Michael Cera just had a film last week.
Yeah.
I'm just curious if you're, you know, do you stay in touch with each other?
Yeah.
And is it difficult as you guys, you know, become, you know, work more often and find more projects?
Is it difficult?
Is it difficult to
stay in touch? No, I mean, you know, phones work everywhere, and email, you know, is great, and Will is actually, Arnett is in town quite a bit, you know, with all of his work. Michael was just here, obviously, a couple weeks ago for the junket and the premiere for that, so I saw him then, and you know, we're all really, really happy for one another. We had, like, the greatest time you could ever imagine doing Arrested Development, and as grateful as we are for the careers we have afterwards, we still miss it, because it was, you know, we were all so proud to be a part of that, and we were all such big fans of the show. And perhaps we'll all get back together again and you know, fire up those characters again in some form or another. We're all sort of hoping. You know, I think Michael is going to be around for a real long time doing what he does so well. And Will Arnett is, I've always said, I would be starstruck around if I wasn't so close with him. You know, I just think he's a genius. So we're all doing okay, and we're all very, very close.
What do you take away from Pete as a director and an actor? And do you see him in a different way?
Peter is, you know, he's a director that is so comfortable on the set and has got such a specific technique with his cameras, with the way that he deals with actors, that I like it a lot. It's everyone's very much on their toes all the time. He's got three cameras going at all times, so you never really know when you're on camera. There's no marks on the floor. Lighting is sort of sparse. It's not dissimilar to Arrested Development in that sense. He's sort of news gathering, you know, as opposed to, okay, let's just shoot out this direction and just light it perfectly, and then we'll turn around and get this direction. He's got two cameras going, and these guys are they're handheld, you know, and they got these big 1,000-foot magazines of film on there, and these big heavy things that if one camera rolls out, the other two are still going. So he's reloading while we're still acting, and you hear this reloading, and you think, well, sound's got to be annoyed with this, but the sound department knows the way Pete's work, so they've got you all on wireless mics so that they can pot that stuff down. I mean, it's very, very active and a lot of fun to work. I don't know if an acting purist would yell at him at one point for not letting them get to the end of the scene before he starts, you know, saying, no, wait, back up, say that line one more time. It's very much on your toes sort of acting, which is very exciting for me and efficient. We have very short days, and he gets everything that he needs. So I'm a big fan of it, and you know, him obviously being an actor is beneficial for us because he speaks our language.
Whose choice was the Orioles cap?
I think that was the wardrobe department because we were out of D.C. Certainly would not have been my choice. I'm a Dodger fan. I wear Dodger stuff in this new one in Hancock.
I wanted to know if Joe had contacted you about being in the prequel to Smoking Aces.
He has not, but he is busy writing a film that we hope to do probably next year, strike willing, or maybe the year after that. So I'm really excited about that.
And how weird is it for you to see Silver Spoons on DVD?
I haven't watched it yet, but I should. Although it's tough to see you acting at that young an age. You know, I don't know how well your parents sort of did or kept home movies, but it's very odd to have every year of your life on camera from 10 to, you know, 38. A lot of bad hair. There's a lot of weird voice stuff. But it's, I remember having a lot of fun on that show.
You had said before, originally you weren't going to be kidnapped in this movie, The Kingdom. When did that actually happen? When you were on the set?
It was a draft that came in. You should definitely ask Peter about that, and or Scott Stuber. I don't know if he's going to be around today, or Matthew Carnahan, or anybody from the studio. But it was, you know, I think just a process of really good, intensive scrutiny on this script and making it as good as possible. I guess they figured
But when you got the part, you were originally not...
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But by the time you got to filming, you knew it was a totally different thing.
Right. And I will continue to spin that in the positive direction. It wasn't as a result of people hating me and wanting to see me bound and gagged. I won't go there at all.
Could you talk a little about the film in terms of how it deals with a very real political situation and yet is kind of an entertaining action movie at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, I would not start talking about politics. I'm just not that smart about it. But it seems to me that the action genre is a genre we all enjoy, and one looks for new and fresh arenas to couch action. And this is certainly a relevant, topical situation, and why not throw it in that situation? I think that they very successfully navigate the waters of let's not be too didactic and let's not, you know, hammer some precious little theme or message at the end. I think they touch just enough on perhaps what you could gather from this film without saying, hey, this is what you must walk with. Again, you should speak to somebody smarter than me about that, but the bits that I did learn about the situation over there, I appreciated. We had a great political consultant on it, this guy Rich Klein, that just answered any question that I had, and I've retained a bit of it, but you know, I have to watch Charlie Rose and brush up on it every once in a while.
With the way things are going, it looks like you wouldn't want to go back to do television at this point right now. Is that correct or not?
Well,
and you get offered a lot of, like, say, little indie movies where they would be, you know, sort of like a tour de force for you.
No, not yet. If you've got something, I'll take it from you at the end of the meeting. I'm so proud of Arrested Development that I would like to wait at least a bit more before I step back in there. And again, you know, I did so much television to be able to leave on that high note, and you know, couple that with being invited to this new medium. Why not? If my goal is longevity, then why not, you know, graduate television and become a freshman in a new medium, and that should speak to longevity. I mean, that's the plan, and it's also why I'm going to try to take a slow path in that and not jump up to the top of the call sheet, you know, just because I get an offer to do that. I would like to sort of, excuse me, pay my dues and work with the, you know, some of the people we've talked about today and learn as much as I can and you know, try to get a bunch more years.
Jennifer's going off to do theater. Any interest in that area for you?
Absolutely. I haven't done a whole lot of it, but every time I go to New York, I see as much as I can and watch these people do this and think how fun that would be. And I love that city so much, it would give me a great excuse to live there for a while. It's such a tough thing to schedule because there's such a long lead time and there's such a long commitment. And I'm trying to ingratiate myself into this new medium, and so it doesn't make too much sense for me to block off a bunch of time right now and do that. But I would be surprised if I'm not doing something there in the next couple of years.
How's your sister?
She's great, thank you. She's got a couple of beautiful little kids that are 5 and I think 2.5, and not that she's done raising them by any stretch, but the heavy lifting is sort of subsiding for a little while, and I think that she's making a little bit more of a proactive effort to get back into the business, and you may see her here soon.
So she retired, but she's ready to go back to work now?
Yeah, I don't think she officially sort of retired, but she certainly wasn't as ambitious as she was before and just really enjoyed her kids. And her husband works really, really hard and is a very successful real estate guy. And so she wanted to stay home with them and do that thing. And having a 10-month-old myself, I get it.
Is it awkward at all between the two of you that you're so busy and have got this resurgence going and she's you know, at home with the kids?
No. She's been in the business almost as long as I have. She gets that, you know, it's up, it's down. You know, when she was on top of the world of Family Ties, I certainly wasn't sticking pins in a, you know, a sister doll. You know, it comes and it goes. And, you know, if she had been on Arrested Development and I wasn't, she would be on the other foot. So she gets that and consequently is out there every pilot season looking for something great.
Yeah.